You're listening to The Richest Man in Babylon by George Clason. Copyright 2007 BN Publishing. Online at bnpublishing.com. The Tale of the Man Who Desired Much Gold. Banzer, the chariot builder of Babylon, was thoroughly discouraged. From his seat upon the low wall surrounding his property, he gazed sadly at his simple home and the open workshop in which stood a partially completed chariot. His wife frequently appeared at the open door. Her furtive glances in his direction reminded him that the meal bag was almost empty, and he should be at work finishing the chariot, hammering and hewing, polishing and painting, stretching taut the leather over the wheel rims, preparing it for delivery, so he could collect from his wealthy customer. Nevertheless, his fat, muscular body sat stolidly upon the wall. His slow mind was struggling patiently with a problem for which he could find no answer. The hot, tropical sun, so typical of this valley of the Euphrates, beat down upon him mercilessly. Beads of perspiration formed upon his brow and trickled down unnoticed to lose themselves in the hairy jungle on his chest. Beyond his home towered the high terraced walls surrounding the king's palace. Nearby, cleaving the blue havens, was the painted tower to the Temple of Bel. In the shadow of such grandeur was his simple home and many others far less neat and well cared for. Babylon was like this, a mixture of grandeur and squalor, of dazzling wealth and direst poverty, crowded together without plan or system within the protected walls of the city. Behind him, had he cared to turn and look, the noisy chariots of the rich jostled and crowded aside the sandaled tradesmen as well as the barefooted beggars. Even the rich, in turn, were forced to turn into the gutters to clear the way for the long lines of slave water carriers on the king's business, each bearing a heavy goat skin of water to be poured upon the hanging gardens. Banzer was too engrossed in his own problem to hear or heed the confused hubbub of the busy city. It was the unexpected twanging of the strings from a familiar lyre that aroused him from his reverie. He turned and looked into the sensitive, smiling face of his best friend, Kabi, the musician. "May God bless thee with great liberality, my good friend," began Kabi with an elaborate salute. "Yet it does appear he hath already been so generous thou needest not to labor. I rejoice with thee in thy good fortune. More, I would even share it with thee. Pray, from thy purse, which must be bulging else thou wouldst be busy in yon shop, extract but 2 humble shekels and lend them to me until after the nobleman's feast this night. Thou wilt not miss them, or they are returned." "If I did have 2 shekels," Banza responded gloomily, "to no one could I lend them, not even to you, my best of friends, for they would be my fortune, my entire fortune. No one lends his entire fortune, not even to his best friend." "What?" exclaimed Kabi with genuine surprise. "Thou hast not 1 shekel in thy purse, yet sit like a statue upon the wall? Why not complete that chariot? How else canst thou provide for thy noble appetite? 'Tis not like thee, my friend. Where is thy endless energy? Doth something distress thee? Has God brought to thee troubles?" "A torment from God it must be," Banzer agreed. "It began with a dream, a senseless dream, in which I thought I was a man of means. From my belt hung a handsome purse, heavy with coins. There were shekels which I cast with careless freedom to the beggars. There were pieces of silver with which I did buy finery for my wife, and whatever I did desire for myself. There were pieces of gold which made me feel assured of the future and unafraid to spend the silver. A glorious feeling of contentment was within me. You would not have known me for thy hard-working friend, nor wouldst have known my wife. So free from wrinkles was her face and shining with happiness. She was again the smiling maiden of our early married days." "A pleasant dream indeed," commented Kabi. "But why should such pleasant feelings as it aroused turn thee into a glum statue upon the wall?" Banzer, "Why, indeed, because when I awoke and remembered how empty was my purse, a feeling of rebellion swept over me. Let us talk it over together, for, as the sailors do say, we ride in the same boat, we 2. As youngsters, we went together to the priest to learn wisdom. As young men, we shared each other's pleasures. As grown men, we have always been close friends. We have been contented subjects of our king. We have been satisfied to work long hours and spend our earnings freely. We have earned much coin in the years that have passed. Yet to know the joys that come from wealth, we must dream about them. Bah! Are we more than dumb sheep? We live in the richest city in all the world. The travelers do say none.